So Matt, do you remember we were testing the myth, like UPS drivers or FedEx drivers, they're taught not to make left-hand turns. I get the truck stuck because I'm taking this huge shipping truck and you were there trying to guide me down this hill. Do you remember this?
I remember an older gentleman in a plaid shirt with like shirt tucked into his khakis yelling at me like he was my dad. And he's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? What? Who are you? I am the president of the HOA.
You were like, look, sir, I'm sorry.
I was like,
I'm sorry. We didn't mean to cause this commotion.
And then he yelled at me. He's like, well, you did.
Welcome, MythFits.
Hey there, back to the MythFits. Welcome, everybody. This is the MythFits podcast. I'm Carrie Byron.
And I am Tori Belaichi, and we can't tell you how much fun we are having on doing this podcast. And I feel like, I don't know, this is just retelling all the stories from MythBusters, getting to connect with you every Monday. This has just been, it's just been awesome.
Yeah, it's like more than that. It's like we get to still dive into all of our weird curiosities, but also hold on to all the nostalgia of like a really crazy time in our lives. We made so many good friends that have become family and kind of, I don't know, it's a strange trajectory we've thrown ourselves on. And I like coming to explore that every week here with you and all of the MythFit fans.
There's kind of been a few episodes. We keep telling stories about one of our runners on the show. And he's like, he's one of my favorite runners on the history of MythBusters, just because he was so funny. And there have been many stories on podcasts earlier that we tell the stories about him that we felt like we need to get him on the podcast so you can hear it from his point of view.
Oh my God. I am so excited for everybody to meet and hopefully follow into the future our guest today, who is definitely a very important person for us because, man, he was just a light. He was such a sweet, kind person, but also you could tell he was too big to be a runner on MythBusters. Like he was gonna go somewhere. He definitely had such a gravitas and a big personality that I love watching the trajectory of his career. And he's out there in Hollywood now.
I know. I can't. I mean, it's so exciting to see his career develop. And, you know, when he was on MythBusters as our runner, he would just keep us laughing constantly. I mean, he was just so fun to be around. And we saw that there was something, a talent that he had that we were just like, dude, you got to get out of San Francisco. You got to go to LA. Like, if you really want to do this, I feel like you have what it takes. And he has proven us all correct.
Yeah, if you guys have been listening to MythFits for a while, you've probably heard the stories of the legendary Matt Cordova from MythBusters production assistant or runner all the way to Hollywood. And I see him pop up in movies and TV shows and commercials, and it's always hilarious. I get really excited when he's on. I'm just like, oh my God,
totally.
I think we just bring him on.
Absolutely. You guys are in for a treat because we are bringing one of our favorite runners from MythBusters, Matt Cordova.
I love you guys so much. Oh, it's so
Dude,
good to see you.
That mustache looks healthier than it's ever looked.
Yeah.
On full Selleck. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So, Matt, let's go back because, gosh dang it, it is good to see you. I feel like my long lost brother, we're reunited. It's been too long. Let's go back to your first day working on MythBusters. How did this come about? How did we find you, or did you find us?
Well, it was, so I was at my graduation from college. I went to St. Mary's in the East Bay, and a mutual friend of mine was already working on the show, and she kind of hooked me up with an interview because I think I was the first, like, M7 dedicated runner, because I think before me one person was kind of doing the job for both shops, and they were looking for somebody that was going to be dedicated to you guys, and boy did I luck out. I think I wore khakis to the interview,
So, Maddie, explain what a runner is for people who are not in the industry.
I mean, I learned what a runner was on this job. And our job was basically to fulfill a list of requirements for the day. Depending on what you guys were working on, it was my job to go and procure the things that we needed. Of course, always make sure lunch was taken care of, you know, assistant type things. But my job as a runner is better on MythBusters than any PA in Hollywood, because our show was not union. It wasn't SAG. So there weren't really limitations on, you know, on a movie set. If you're not in the lighting department, you do not touch the lights. It's very regimented and it's, you know, protected by unions. And we didn't really have those rules. I learned very quickly on MythBusters.
Like, no lungs.
My very first day was, you guys were doing the underwater explosions, trying to make waves, trying to make a surfable wave.
Yeah.
And I got back from bringing lunch, and then you guys made me hold a camera underwater in the tank that you guys built in the parking lot for the small scale test. There was like a camera in a waterproof thing, and then there's a pole, and I could tell Benny was kind of, I think he was kind of, you know, razzing me. He's like, all right, and Matt, is it Matt, you want to come hold this camera? And it was like the person right next to the explosion. And it was just like, you know, dry ice in a 2-liter bottle.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh my God, like, I'm not, this is going to be in the show? You know, shaking, the thing explodes.
Oh. And you're not even worried about getting hurt from the explosion. You're like, I'm going to be on television.
Yeah, and I can't mess this up. And so I always say, you know, like, my job as a runner was to, you know, on any given day, pick up a dead pig carcass and then go pick up the metal that you guys are going to need to swing a gun while shooting it at the pig to try to bend a bullet. And then I also have to go to In-N-Out and get 30 double doubles. That's what the MythBusters runner did.
What we loved about you was nothing bummed you out. Like, people, you know, if something went wrong, you always had a sense of humor about it and would make me laugh and the whole crew laugh. So it was like a really, like, an interesting characteristic. And that's kind of when we discovered that you were, you know, wanting to become a comedian and an actor. But it was just those moments where you would do something funny off the cuff, and it was like, I don't even care if he's a good runner. I just want him around all the time. Like, he puts me in a good mood.
You guys, I was not a good runner. Like, there are so many instances I can tell you that I screwed up. I don't know anything about science. I don't know anything about tools. Like, my main job was to go to the hardware stores and get the correct things. And, like, the people at Center Hardware hated to see me come because they were like, oh, God, here comes the oaf from MythBusters. Let's hold his hand through the hardware store and show him what he needs from the list that Grant wrote down. You know, it's like... I remember those Center Hardware runs were the worst because that meant that something broke that day and we needed to, like, fix it in an hour. They're like, send Maddie to Center Hardware. Oh, and then I'd be like, oh God. Okay. I got to get the right 3/8 inch screws, whatever it was.
We got a time pressure.
Yeah. But I do feel like that was nobody asked for it, but that was my silent job, was to kind of keep up morale. Cause again, like, I didn't know much about your guys' science and like all the experiments that were going on. So when the cameras went off, that's when I was like, all right, I got a story about the bar last night. who needs a Diet Coke? And it was, I feel like one of my jobs was to let everybody kind of turn off.
You got to see the behind the scenes. So do you have any, I'm giving you full permission right now. You can tell any story you want. You can full disclosure, go for it. You've got any fun stories about us being, I had some diva moments. I definitely had some wild times on that show.
I think you're trying to make yourself into a monster, Carrie. It just didn't happen. I mean, like, no, I mean, you already shared the breast milk thing, which was completely unintentional.
Let's get that from your side. I just want to clear. I want to let everybody know who's listening. We have mentioned Matt several times in previous podcasts because there are these moments that just stood out in our minds and they were hilarious. And Matt, I would love for you to go down memory lane and retell what that moment was like for you.
I mean, my jobs were get there early, pack up food and snacks, man the ice chest when we're out in the middle of nowhere, and clean up. And so when Carrie was a new mother, she obviously had to pump when we're out on location. Don't know about that. I mean, know about that now.
You were a young man.
I think I was like, 22 or 23 when I started. And so I went in at, middle of the day to refresh the ice in our cooler. And I saw something that I didn't put in there. And I said, well, who's messing with my cooler? I'm very particular about my coolers now. And
don't put extra stuff.
Yeah. Is this some, I think I even went like this. Like I even shook it. It's like, who what's it? This? And so Carrie, you could have put the lid on perfectly fine. I'm like, what? Who's? And then I remember it just going down like my long sleeve shirt.
Oh,
and right. Carrie just going, no, no. I just remember her saying, no, no. I'm like, oh.
Oh,
and then
so
everybody's head's turning, and then the realization that it is your breast milk, and
that's
like,
so gross.
I mean, it was gross, but I was also like, I'm wasting this. This has got to go to the baby.
Yeah. So you're like, so yeah. You just like,
I think some people.
I don't want to let it go. To
I
waste.
Think some people tried it. I'm not gonna say, but I think that after you're like, well, it's spilt. We might as well test it out.
Gross.
Small scale
all
test.
Right, so that actually inspired me because I remember I was like, oh, his horror is so funny to me that I made this batch of chocolate chip cookies and I brought it in. And when everybody was eating it, I'm like, oh, my God, it's so wonderful. It's just so natural. I made these cookies with my breast milk and watched everybody, their faces change, wanting to spit it out. And I fell over laughing. I couldn't hold it together. But I was just like, okay. If I'm going to own this and mess with these guys, I'm going to take my motherhood to pranking.
True or false? Incognito mode makes you invisible on the internet. The answer is false. Most people have no idea that your browsing history can still be monitored, even recorded, unless you use ExpressVPN. And you know what? ExpressVPN is also great for watching movies in other countries on Netflix. So the way this works, Netflix will actually hide content depending on your location. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have servers in over 100 countries, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows and never run out of stuff to watch. Ever since I found ExpressVPN, now no matter where I go in the world, I can always access the shows that I get when I'm at home. Even watching Netflix in Canada, you don't get everything we get here in the US. But now that I have ExpressVPN, whenever I go there, I can get all the shows that I want. ExpressVPN is easy to use. You fire up the app, you hit a button, and it'll change your location. Plus, it works on all devices, phones, tablets, computers, smart TVs, whatever. And the best part is it's super fast. You can stream HD with no buffering. I hate buffering. That is my pet peeve. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/mythfits. That's expressvpn.com/mythfits to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/mythfits. So, Matt, do you remember we were testing the myth that like UPS drivers or FedEx drivers, they're taught not to make left-hand turns, but to just make right-hand turns through a city because it makes their trips faster and it's easier to get through traffic. So we were testing that myth and we had this whole route that we were doing in San Francisco. So we would start at the shop and then finish up at City Hall. And one of the roads we had to go down was Lombard Street, which is one of the windiest roads in San Francisco. And all of a sudden, I get the truck stuck because I'm taking this huge shipping truck down this narrow, windy road. And you were there trying to guide me down this hill. Do you remember this?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the whole time I was tailing you guys in the danger van.
Okay.
And, which I still can smell.
The danger van being the minivan, the production minivan that it took its lumps over the years and stank from a lot of takeout food spilling in there.
And I feel like somebody, I can't remember who, but they took off of the, it said Dodge Caravan, and they reorganized it and it said danger van. They like re-glued the letters back on the back of the van. I have some great stories about the danger van. I still have like, I think I told you guys I found a big folder of stuff. And this is a incident report from when I got into a car accident in the danger van. So I had to like go to the hospital.
You have one job, Matt. Yeah. One job, yeah. Drive the van.
Into somebody else. I was at the bottom of that. And I remember when you got stuck, I can still remember you were like, hinged on like one of the curbs towards the end. And I mean, you know, I always had to like watch out because I didn't want to be on camera or whatever, but I feel like I jumped in the van and I remember like seeing you like, you look back at me like, and then so that guy, scared. That guy came out. I think you remember that better than I do because I was blacked out.
It was the president of the HOA and you were down there. But I just remember you. So you were down there like trying to like ease his mind.
Yeah, he's like, "What are you guys doing?" I'm like, "Oh, we're with the MythBusters, which you know always."
So we can do anything we want.
Yeah, right. And his face just got
even. And then you could break up a historic part of San Francisco by taking a truck that's too big down it. Sure.
Yeah. And who knew that street had its own HOA?
Right? That was all new to us.
That guy was just pissed. I remember an older gentleman in a plaid shirt with like shirt tucked into his khakis yelling at me like he was my dad. And that I had just like thrown like a barbell through his TV or something. And he's like, "What the hell do you think you're doing? What? Who are you? I am the president of the HOA. I'm like, "Sir, we're just trying to do left-hand turns. Okay. We haven't even done the bomb threat yet. What are you so pissed off about?" But Linda, thank God, she saved me. Linda came. Linda was like the calming waters of all.
No, but you remember when you said, because you were like, "Look, sir, I'm sorry."
I was like,
"I'm sorry. We didn't mean to cause this commotion."
And then he yelled at me. He's like, "Well, you did."
I know you didn't mean to.
What do you want me? What do you want from me? What do you want from me?
It cracked me up so bad because it was just like, here you are at the bottom of the hill just trying to like make better the situation and this guy just lays into you and you're just like, "Dude, I don't get paid enough."
I don't remember Tori getting off of the van to help at all.
I was too busy trying to maintain the truck from crashing into a house.
What's the most disgusting thing we ever made you do? Clean out, bring, do.
It doesn't sound that gross, but one time I had to spend an entire weekend manning like 6 popcorn machines because like on Monday we needed like 80 bags of popcorn. So we were doing that. I think it was Real Genius where they like made the house explode with popcorn.
Yeah.
And it was like this oil that I had to mix in with, like, it was literally like 6 Carnival popcorn machines that were set up in the driveway of M7 over the weekend. And I had to go one by one, oil, seeds, next one, oil, seeds. And I did it for like 8 hours one weekend.
Jeez.
Wow.
That stuff would not leave my body, that oil smell.
Oh, the smell.
And it got into my clothes and like, you know, probably didn't shower, got in my bed. I just remember that popcorn
oil. In fact,
oil.
I don't think a lot of people know that that butter smell at the movie theaters, that popcorn oil they use is basically just butter flavor smell and coconut oil. It's really, I mean, it is a thick coconut oil. So your skin must have been really moisturized after that weekend.
That is really, and I do remember it was coconut oil. I remember we were like scooping a bunch of that coconut oil in. When we dropped that car in the desert.
Okay, I remember this. Okay, so this myth was luxury car drop. It was from a commercial where one car was dropped from a helicopter and the other one went like racing down the desert. And they would both meet at the same spot, and the car dropping and the car racing would crash into each other. And, you know, we had a giant helicopter to drop, and we had Grant remote controlling a car, and it was dusty. It was so dusty. And just to get a little relief, because every time that car would blast down the desert, it was kicking up more and more dust. So we'd go in that Winnebago, which like the inside was so dirty. It wasn't much better than the outside, and it was hot. It was so hot and sweaty that day. But it, for me, I have a really strong memory of us doing that myth because it was like the height of friendship for all of us because it was so hard and such a big thing to accomplish. And it was all hands on deck. And anybody who was involved from the, you know, the cameraman to us to you, like everybody was helping to make this amazing thing happen.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like I remember my like ultimate hero memory of Grant was like when he was practicing his approach, there was like, you know, he was in a helicopter flying above the car that he was remote controlling. And I remember like one of the tests, the helicopter just coming over us and he's like hanging out of the side of the door with his remote control, looking like Schwarzenegger, like almost halfway out of the helicopter.
Channeling Luke Skywalker.
Yes. And I'm just like,
stay on target. Stay on target.
It was so the force. Cool.
Do you remember that car went out of control and started doing 360s, but like only because Tori jumped into it?
No. That's not what happened. What happened was, that's not what happened. What happened was my job was after each run, I was in the helicopter with Grant. Carrie was in the helicopter dropping the car. And so it was this race. Because in the ad, I think it was,
it was
that
like,
the car on the ground is so fast that it could beat a dropping car. And right. That, you know, that was like the show, the power of this car. And so we were trying to test that. Now, after the run, my job was to jump out, run over to the car. Grant had the brakes on it. And I would turn off the power and then the car would, you know, I'd hit the kill switch. And so Grant's like, okay, you have to hit this button. And he's like hammering it into me. I'm like, dude, this button, got it. I'm sure I can figure that one out. So we land, I run over, the car is still running. So basically the engine is full bore because the acceleration had stuck. And so Grant was just like holding down the brake. And the other thing he's doing is he's got it turned to the left. So it's just doing donuts because he knows if he lets go of the brake, this car is just going to take off, right? And so I'm trying to like run around, jump on the car to hit the kill switch. And everyone's like, what are you doing? It's like, you're going to get killed. And so I finally got up to the box. I hit the kill switch and it was so dusty that this car is creating a dust cloud that I can no longer see the car anymore. So it's like, it's coming in and out of the dust. And I'm just going, oh, everyone's like, dude, be careful. And I hit the switch and I'm like, yes, I got it. But apparently that switch that he told me to kill, all that did was get rid of his remote control. So now that car is just, so it's not even steering anymore, but it's got a stuck accelerator and that thing takes off at like 80 miles an hour into the desert. And we're just like, I have no idea where this thing is headed. Luckily, it hits like this berm, a sand dune, and it like crashes and goes through a fence, some, you know, barbed wire fence, and it stops. But that was like one of those, like if that had gone the other way, like towards a city, we'd be, it's still in lawsuits.
My memory is a little faint. Because I was pregnant on that shoot and didn't know it. I was just like extra hot. And I remember at the end of the shoot and we were all just like relaxing finally. And I'm sitting in a hot tub with y'all drinking a Budweiser, and I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if I was pregnant right now, guzzling that beer?
Carrie, turns out this I was. I didn't know if you wanted to say this, but so this leads into all of this because when you asked me what one of the shittiest parts was like I had to when we had to go back to the desert and like pick up all the pieces of car because because we were on like that protected land, we had to like do such an extensive cleanup and the radius was so wide, like that car just getting smashed. But this all brought back to one of the most important parts of our day, which was pool ball.
Oh my God.
You guys remember pool ball?
That was the dumbest, most fun game. Explain pool ball.
Okay. It was, I don't even know if I remember the rules, but it was basically, like you said, Carrie, we were at the height of friendship on this crew, and most of the accommodation things revolved around, does this hotel have a pool? Because we've all become addicted to playing this game with a beach ball where we all have to have a beer in our hand and keep the ball up out of the water and see how many, can we get to 100, basically? And it was like ultimate team, all hands
building.
On deck.
Team building.
And I remember, because I went to buy the beer, and I handed Carrie a Corona. It was a Corona in a bottle in the pool, glass bottle in the pool. And then a week later, you said that you tell us you're pregnant. And so in my mind, I've always given your child its first beer.
Oh, nice.
Was it
in
Corona?
A hot tub.
Was it a Corona? I feel like I should write this down in her baby book.
It was a Corona.
The Corona. Oh, man, I thought it was a Budweiser because my joke to her always was, you know, because her name is Stella. The joke was always like, well, you're lucky I wasn't drinking Budweiser.
It was Corona. Oh. I remember.
That's so baby's funny. First beer was a Corona.
Because I feel like there's so many stages of your pregnancy that I was a part of for no other reason than just be the runner on your show.
Let's talk about Al Ryder. You and Al Ryder. Al was a sound recordist on the show, and her and Matt had a very special bond, a very special relationship.
We did. I mean, we don't need to. I mean, people do need to understand how badass Al was, because she was like the coolest woman. That she was like an aunt to me, you know, after all the years that we spent together, which was why she felt so comfortable screaming at me so loudly. Because she, you know, I think on the way home, even she's like, oh, Matty, I'm so sorry. But I mean,
she's a tall British woman with gray hair, big blue eyes, and you know, being a woman in that industry as an audio tech was pretty awesome. Like, you have to lug around this big sack all day of just equipment, and she, you know, it takes a lot. Like, she was tough as nails.
Yes, and I mean, I think she was like in her mid to late 50s, or you know, at that.
No, she was older than that because. I remember I found out she was my mom's age, and so at the time I'd say she was probably in her 60s, and she, like Carrie was saying, would have to carry around her sound equipment all day. And so that thing weighs, I don't know, like 30 pounds, 40 pounds. But I remember this moment where she's got all her gear on, she's holding her boom mic, and she's trying to start up a chainsaw. Like, she's got her foot on the ground and she's all ring, ring. And I'm just going, oh my God. Like, I could not picture my mom ever doing anything like this. What, like, totally. This lady is a superhero.
And then also on the other end of the spectrum, like the softest, most gentle person that would check in with you about your just overall emotions. You know, it's like she covered the whole spectrum.
Matty, how are you doing?
Yes. And that one day, I can't remember what we were doing, but we were truly like in the woods. And I had to go like 45 minutes to go get sandwiches and 45 minutes back. And so it was just like there was nothing that we were going to do about changing the food that was here. And Al, you know, carrying her load, comes out, and you could tell all she wants to do is sit down and eat a sandwich. And and that baby had mustard on it.
No, mustard for Al. Nope. Hated mustard.
God damn it, Maddie! This mustard!
Like, we needed that on the slow cam or whatever, that sandwich just like going all over everybody's shoes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Carrie, now I know you're a big proponent for therapy, but for somebody who not really done a lot of therapy, I probably need it. Like, what's the best way of going about finding the right therapist for you?
So I think it's time to talk BetterHelp, because it's actually really hard to find the right therapist. Now, I'm somebody who's used therapy a lot in my life to get through some tough situations, and it's always hard to get started. So BetterHelp is fully online. You can pause your subscription whenever you need and switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. It's convenient. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/MythFits.
That's BetterHelp.com/MythFits. Do yourself a favor. Get some therapy.
It would have been a great reality show with all the weird personalities and weird stuff that we were doing. I mean, like, just the preparation for what we were doing is so insane. Like,
yes.
Someday if somebody wanted to write a fictional show about behind the scenes, nobody would believe it.
And I feel like we tried. There's still some pretty good YouTube videos up.
Oh my God.
Of like our behind the scenes shenanigans, like when Carrie officiated our donut eating contest.
Tasering each other.
Tori just like throwing footballs at my nuts.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Remember the Justin Bieber?
Old fat Bieber.
So when we'd get in, Matt was always the first one at the shop. And so I would usually get in early. And so we would just be waiting for the crew and the producers to show up. And so we would just be bored and just start making up dumb videos, because Matt had a desk butt up right against my desk. So we just would look at each other all day. You know, if we weren't working out in the shop,
it was like
we would just be looking at each other and just coming up with the dumbest jokes and just like throwing stuff at each other. It was like the best time. But yeah, overweight Bieber.
What
are you talking about?
It was just like, because I had stupid hair and Justin Bieber was like, you know, 12 years old on the radio. And one of the songs, I was like, I couldn't stop listening to it. I was playing it I had one of those like Zoolander Mac computers that was like, you know, clear and teal.
Yeah.
And I was just like playing that Bieber song over and over again. And Tori finally.
So, because he had memorized the lyrics and it was, I smile, you smile. Something.
When
it was
I smile, you smile.
And so we were like, let's. Like, put your hair down like Justin Bieber, because he would do that, like, swoop down, you know, just in front of his eyes. And so we shot this dumb video, and it's still out there on YouTube. I love that. Like, what are your favorite Jamie and Adam stories?
I think they tried to make me go over to M5 a couple times, like a couple shooting blocks. Willie would constantly be like, hey, is it my turn over at M7? I'd be like, oh, sorry. I'm just not ever going to go over there. Towards the end, I think that, you know, I gained some credibility over there, and they tested a myth that they on me, which was, I would say my best memory with them was when they were trying to do like camp pranks. One of them was like the hand in the warm water. Would it make you pee? And Jamie and Adam both wouldn't go to sleep. They just couldn't get them to go to sleep. And they had those like sleep study thing on.
Yeah,
where they could tell there and they just wouldn't be able to go to sleep. So I instantly would fall asleep. So they brought me on, but they didn't tell me like half of the thing they were testing, because they made me wear these like crazy pajamas that were like, they're like, you can pick what you want to wear. I was like, okay. And then I brought this like full on like long john thing, thought it was funny. It had like a poop chute and everything. And they were like, no, that's too much clothes. I'm like, what? Like, what? They're like,
you're like, what are you guys planning on doing?
Yeah, they made me cut the arms off and they made me cut the legs off to like almost, you know, my Bill Cosby area. And like, I'm like, what is going on? And so they did the myth and then like they put the hand in the water and I didn't pee myself. And then the thing is over. But afterwards, they tell me like, we were actually also testing if powdered sugar would make you shiny. We dusted your entire bed with powdered sugar. And we thought that by not telling you, we would be able to maybe get you to do two myths in once. And so that's why they wanted all this skin of mine exposed. Oh my God. But they just like never talk about it in the episode. So I just look like I'm wearing this like crazy set of pajamas to do this myth. And then they're just like, oh, and then that other part didn't work. So we just like didn't mention it.
So now you look like a psycho.
Yeah. But I do quickly just need to show you guys a few things that I found in my files.
Show me.
I saved like, for some reason, I saved like 30 call sheets. I have like call sheets for everything. And I was like, why did I keep all these call sheets? And then it's because I remembered it was mostly because of Eric's notes of like the funny stuff he would put on the front. Like, you know, there's notes on the location, who's going to pick up the K rails and who has the permits. And then at the bottom, it's like, stay away from the birds at the end of the runway. Evolving in isolation, the terns have grown unusually large and fierce, twice the size of full-grown men. And their never-ending search for human flesh causes them to pull the legs off children and senior citizens. And that's like on our like call sheet.
The professional and, call sheets.
Yeah. And Eric was one of our producers on the show.
Yes.
We would take photos. And you know that thing when you shake your face really hard?
Oh,
and
yeah, I do.
Dude, I can't believe you have a print of that.
Shake face, baby.
Oh, dude, that's hilarious. All right, so for the listeners at home, Matt just held up a photo of me. What we used to do when we would get off work and, you know, we'd be out eating, we had this camera and we would have each person just shake your face as hard as you can, but just completely relax your face. And then this camera would capture a moment. So your like lips would be off to the left and your eyes would be off to the right. And you look so mangled. I can't believe you still have that photo.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was like the technology we were in. Oh. Like, we all had digital cameras, you know?
Oh, my God, dude.
My one last story that I don't know if you guys know, but another instance in you guys just, like, totally hooking me up was when you guys were doing the Green Hornet episode.
Oh, yeah.
And Seth Rogen came to set.
Oh,
and you guys all knew that I was, like, I mean, he was my everything. And it still is. He's, you know, one of my comedic heroes, and he was coming to set, and there was never a reason why I needed to be in the blueprint room. And you guys let me come in, watch you guys record with him in the blueprint room. You introduced me to him. I got a picture with him.
This is my favorite part.
I, you know, Seth Rogen's coming to town, and this is before, you know, the laws of the day were there. I was like, well, Seth needs some weed. He's in San Francisco. He's flying here. I don't know. How's he going to bring his own? I'm going to give him some. I'm going to give him some of San Francisco's finest, and he's going to thank me, and he's going to put me on his shoulders, and he's going to, you know, take me to Hollywood with him. And so I rolled like the fattest boom baddie I could roll and rolled it up in Saran wrap and brought it to work. And the day.
A risky move.
The day that they show up, yeah, they all show up and everybody is at M5 and everybody's kind of like kind of congregating. And I could kind of tell, I was like, this is risky. I don't think I'm going to be able to hand it directly to him, you know? And so I got one of the people that were like, I could tell was his, like maybe his personal assistant or something. This like guy had long hair. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you guys are all like hooked up yet, but I wanted Seth to have some good weed while he's in San Francisco. And the guy looked at me, he's like, you want me to give this to Seth? I'm like, yeah, if you could, that'd be great. So I never said anything to him afterwards or whatever. And then they all went on location to go do the half car thing. And I think it was just Adam and Jamie. And I don't know if any of M7 went on that, but to the cameraman from M5 when they got back. I was like, hey, did you guys like, he's like, they were pretty giggly at dinner. And I like to think that it was mine, but I'm sure they brought their own. Yeah, I mean, they're, but yeah, smuggling drugs into M5 was one of my scarier moments.
That is awesome.
Where, okay, so people who are fans of Mythbusters who want to support you, where can they see you now? Like stroller daddies, all the things. Tell us all the things.
Yeah, I'm pretty active nowadays on TikTok. So MattyCordova19 is where you can find me there. And I think Instagram is MattyCordova. Yeah, been just working on projects, trying to get stuff off the ground, doing commercials, paying the bills, you know. Industry is a little slow, but we're doing what we can. And yeah, I would love for people to go and watch Quiz Lady.
I'm really, Quiz Lady was totally.
Really, it was really good. Proud of that one.
That's amazing. Wait, so when we talked yesterday, you said you had an idea for the three of us to work together again. What is that idea?
I mean, I don't mean to step on any toes, but I know that multiple people, and good on them, said that this podcast maybe needs to do a live tour.
Oh, okay.
And if there, one thing a live tour needs is an MC.
Oh,
you know, that is true.
Somebody to come out on the stage before, rifle the crowd up a little bit, share a few personal anecdotes. MC Matt Cordova. I'm just saying.
You could be our Seacrest.
We could, yeah. I'll be your Seacrest. And it's mostly just so that we can play pool ball again.
Totally.
I love this idea. I think the idea is brilliant. And if the popcorn machine breaks, you'll know how to fix it.
And I'll bring my popcorn cologne.
Boom. Dude,
thank you,
it's so good
thank
to see
you.
Thank
you so much for coming on MythFits. Like, it's been so fun to connect with you again. And we just need to keep up more often on and off the podcast.
Like, I agree. Yeah. Whenever anybody cancels, I have more to talk about.
Love
you. Thanks, Maddie.
All right. Bye.
I hope you had as much fun as we did listening to all the stories that Maddie had to tell. He's like ultimate behind the scenes right there. I can't believe he has a huge file of everything that we did.
Oh, it was so good to see him. And I miss him.
All right. So it is time in the episode where we take a fan question. So if you guys have any questions for us, please, you know, either post them in Instagram or YouTube comments, or even better, send us a video or an audio message on Instagram. We might play it on the show. But I've got a good one here. This one's for Tori. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So I've got one here from Shile 007. Tori, you're honestly so awesome. I was just wondering, when you and Grant were testing the blue ice myth, did you ever think about adding stuff like toilet paper, you know, a pee and poo simulation? I get it was caused by a leak, so the outcome probably wouldn't change much, but I've always wondered and been curious that if that was something you thought about. That is disgusting, Tori. Do you want to answer this question? I mean, Blue Eyes Myth was epic.
That's so funny because I just got a text from a friend who was like, Blue Ice, is it real or is it fake? And so the myth is that airlines, they're sewage systems would leak and they would fill the toilets with the blue water that you would see at an outhouse. And so sometimes these tanks would leak. And so like small drips of this blue fluid would drip out, and at altitude it's freezing. So now these drips would start building these huge chunks of ice. And as they start landing, the temperature starts heating up and people were finding giant blocks of ice, blue ice, that were crashing through their roofs. And this was actually happening in like Arizona and I forget where else, but it was happening over and over. So it turns out it was confirmed. But I think we, in the process of talking about creating this experiment, we did talk about putting toilet paper and other things that simulated, you know, excrement and urine, but we didn't, because we just wanted to see if it was just the liquid that we could get to create a giant ice ball.
Well, yeah, that, and also we were taking that fuselage that we were building and the whole system, and you're taking it to NASA, You didn't want to be spraying pee and poo around inside of their facility. I don't think they would have let us do that.
That's what you call a biohazard.
Biohazard. Yeah, the cleanup on that, not so nice.
But you know what was crazy about it is we went and set up. We were only there for like 2 days. We went, put the fuselage together, put it in. It was in Alabama, Huntsville. They have a temperature-controlled air tunnel. It's very rare. So we set it up in there. They got the wind going. They got the temperature down to freezing. And we start leaking the fluid out. And all of a sudden, within minutes, this giant chunk of blue ice starts forming on the outside of our fuselage. And then they turned on the heat. And then all of a sudden, that giant chunk of ice broke away. And I remember these rocket scientists were all looking at each other and going, oh my God, they were cheering. They were like, it worked. You guys got it to work. And you did it in just 2 days. Something like this would take us like 3 months to test.
I mean, they had some really strong specifications of what we were allowed to bring in. Like that not one rivet could come undone in there. You know, it had to be perfect. And the fact that it got pulled off was really, really awesome. I was pretty jealous when I watched the episode. And the joy in your and Grant's just reaction to that was so sweet. And I remember our budget was so bad back then that the reason I didn't go is because they couldn't afford three tickets.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what they told me because they came up with something. They're like, oh, we need you to stay back and do this. And I'm like, I don't really need to do this. And they're like, listen, they just couldn't afford to send you two.
Oh, my God. Like one of the number one shows on Discovery. Ah, sorry, Carrie, you're going to have to sit this one out. Dang.
I mean, that happens every now and then where like they just sent two of us and they came up with some sort of excuse. And it was always just like, man, we were scrappy. We were trying to make a TV show on a nothing budget.
Oh, that's so good. So anyway, good question. Keep those questions coming. We love them. But you know what we would love even more is if you would send in a audio file or a video file so that you can be on the podcast. So send it to MythFits Podcast on Instagram, and maybe you'll make it on the show.
If you guys want to watch the show, of course, we are on YouTube, and that way you can see all of the pictures and the fun things that we throw on the screen as well. So thank you guys, all you MythFits out there.
Yeah, thanks for keeping it weird.
Stay weird, MythFits.
Pioneer.